Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance and joined now by a man who got to witness firsthand one of the great moments in sports history, the Boston Celtics. Returning to Boston for a game 7 after being down 0-3, the whole town buzzing. Oh, they're going to come back from down 0-3 only to get washed in game 7. Oh, it was a joyous occasion. Tell me all about it, Tim Bontemps. How surprised were you by the Celtics losing that game?
I was not surprised the Celtics lost, Max. I was certainly surprised in the way that they lost. Thought the Miami Heat could definitely win that game. Did not think that they would win it by the Celtics following up the single worst shooting game of their season with what tied for their second worst shooting game of the season, going 9-for-42 from three. Obviously, Jason Tatum spraining his ankle on the first play of the game. Jaylen Brown not playing well. But overall, I mean, they had a rough game and lost. But the truth of the matter is, Celtics put themselves in a position where they couldn't afford to have an off night. And that's because they blew the first two games of the series at home. And, you know, when you go back and look at this thing, the inconsistency that has plagued this team over the past couple of years really came back to haunt it. And that is the reason why their season has ended and the Miami Heat are in the NBA Finals.
So, Tim, what do you equate when you think about defensive ratings, right? The defensive ratings for this team, for Boston, are way different than what they were last year. Why is that? Why do you still see the lapses here and there this year of a team that's more of a veteran team? Look, and guys like Caleb Martin got some open looks. There are a lot of questionable things that typically this team last year was so much more disciplined defensively.
I mean, their defense was better last year, J-Will, but they gave up 103 points last night. They didn't lose the game because of their defense. They scored 84 points in the game. Right? It was their lowest. They didn't have a single game this year below 90 points before last night. Then they had 84 in the game. You know, Jaylen Brown was 8-for-23 in the game and also had 8 turnovers. I know Jason Tatum sprained his ankle, but he didn't really have any ability to make an impact on the game despite playing 43 minutes. I mean, he was sort of invisible for large stretches of the game. I mean, that was an offensive loss. And, you know, I know their defense slipped from 2nd to 10th defensive rating for the regular season to the playoffs. Their defense is definitely inconsistent at times. And certainly, you could point to the fact that they're not playing Al Horford and Robert Williams together as much as part of that. But to me, this is less about, like, defensive slippage or, you know, anything else. It's just, you go back to last year's playoffs and you look at this year's playoffs, and the defining thing for the Boston Celtics is they are a wildly inconsistent up and down team, which is why they are 11-12 at home over the past two playoffs. They played 23 playoff games at home over the past 2 years, which means you're a really good team, and they lost more games than they won. That basically is impossible for a team that was in the NBA Finals and was in game 7 of the conference finals. And it's that inconsistency, starting with Jason Tatum on down, that is the thing that the Celtics have to clean up. It's not their offense. It's not their defense. It's that inconsistent play and poise late in games. That is the reason why the Celtics lost, and that is the reason why the Celtics are not home for the summer.
Okay, Tim, so last two games, 12-for-77 from the three-point line. Like, so it does feel like it's live by the three, die by the three. Do you think they need to do more as it relates to attacking the rim and getting in those sweet spots for Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, or the thought of Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum always initiating the offense?
Well, I mean, look, I what I would say, Jay Will, is if you look at how the Celtics have played, right, and especially late in games, you know, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown have tended to, you know, have some rough decision-making in those stretches, committed a lot of turnovers. You know, in Boston all season, has lived and died by the three. This team was 38-2 when they hit 40% or more of their threes, and they were 30. They're now 30-32 on the season when they don't. Right, like they really were a team that was pretty heavily reliant on making threes, and when they did make threes, they were basically unbeatable. And when they didn't, they struggled. And when you combine, you know, with Tatum's ankle injury, with Malcolm Brogdon clearly, obviously being very off with his forearm strain, he probably shouldn't have even played in the game last night. He had a pretty disastrous 7 minutes after sitting out game six. You know, they did just look discombobulated for most of the game. Now, some of that is, you know, Miami was playing this zone, and the Celtics just missed a bunch of open shots. Certainly, if they'd hit some of these threes, things would have looked different. But, you know, again, the Celtics are just, for as much depth and talent as they have, I just keep going back to the same thing. They're just an almost hilariously inconsistent team. And, you know, it just really is incredible that this team lost three games at home in the series, has lost more games at home than they've won over the past 2 years, and, you know, has repeatedly found itself in 6- and 7-game series because it can't take care of business, and that finally came back to bite him last night.
And we can all agree, talking to Tim Bontemps, ESPN reporter, of course. Of course, you can see him across ESPN platforms on such hit shows as This Just In, 2 p.m. Eastern, ESPN, handsome host. Tim, we can all agree, for people in the free world, it was a glorious night, the Celtics being humiliated on their home court after coming back down 0-3. Now, I saw Eastern Conference MVP of the Eastern Conference Finals ballot with 9 votes, and 5 of them were for Jimmy Butler. And yours was one of them for Jimmy Butler, meaning you could look at yourself as the swing vote that gave Jimmy Butler the Eastern Conference MVP. Why did you give it to Butler?
I actually was the last person to submit a ballot, so I was the swing vote.
Yeah,
I was, actually, because I was going back and forth till the end of the game. And look, I was joking with Brian Windhorst the whole series that Caleb Martin had turned into some combination of Steph Curry and Kevin Durant in that series. I mean, he shot 60% from the field. At one point last night, he was 9-for-10 on jumpers outside of 10 feet. I mean, it was just really remarkable, the performance this guy had. But at the end of the day, what swung me was, even in the game last night, I know Jimmy had 28 points on 28 shots, and his line, you know, wasn't eye-popping from an efficiency standpoint. Every single time the Heat needed a big play, it was Jimmy Butler that made it. The end of the first half, the Heat are up 8 with 2 minutes to go, and it was a situation where you look at the game and you go, hey, if the Celtics can get this down to 3 or 4, it could be a huge swing, right? Instead, Jimmy immediately bangs the 3, comes down, gets another bucket inside. The lead goes back up to 13. They go into halftime with a double-digit lead. They come out to start the third quarter. Jimmy immediately hits a 3, puts the lead back up to 14. He helps, you know, keep Boston at bay in the third quarter. And then really the defining moment of the game, Jimmy comes down early in the fourth quarter, gets to his sweet spot at the elbow, gets the switch with Robert Williams that he wants, hits a step-back jumper, then comes down, steals the ball from Jaylen Brown, goes down and dunks it. Timeout Celtics, 10:50 to go in the fourth. Crowd boosts the Celtics back to the bench, and the series is over. And that just, to me, encapsulated that, you know, again, yes, Jimmy didn't have the most efficient series, but he still had like 25-7-7 in the series, and he made every play that they needed to win these games. And for as good as Caleb Martin was, and he was really good, the Heat, and Caleb Martin was in position to make those shots because of the plays Jimmy Butler was making. And the Heat were in position to win these games because Jimmy Butler was the guy driving them forward and leading them to where they needed to go, which is why I ultimately voted for Jimmy at the end of the day. And for, you know, we were talking about Tatum and Brown earlier. Mm-hmm. The poise Jimmy Butler plays with in these moments, that is the thing that the Celtics need to gain between now and this time next year, is a poise and a comfort level in late and close situations in playoff games.
So Tim,
sometimes they look great when they hit shots, and oftentimes they look terrible because they're throwing the ball all over the yard. And that's the thing those guys have to learn, in my opinion, for them to take the final step to being a true championship-level team.
Agreed, and we were talking today. Look, Jimmy Butler's 33. If these guys stay together, even if they look like they're taking steps backwards, they could fall for they could fail for 3-4 more seasons and still be in their late 20s and three-peat. But, you know, like, we're very impatient nowadays. Tim Bontemps, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks, Tim, as always.
Tim.
Thanks, fellas. Talk to you soon.
Got it.
Jay thinks Eric Spoelstra is going down as a top five head coach all time. I think you're right, Jay. He has a real good shot at it.
I mean, he's been to the NBA Finals 6 times. He's won 2 as a head coach. He's won 1 as an assistant coach. Look at the players that he has in the NBA Finals. I actually think this year, you can make a case that this year might be his best coaching job. But I go back to, imagine how hard it has to be to manage LeBron James, who, by the way, didn't want him there. Like, Pat Riley was the one that said, no, I'm going to nix that, to keep Eric Spoelstra there, to get him to buy into the Heat culture and to get him and Dwayne Wade on the same page, especially when they got blitzed by Dallas like that, to stay with it. That's not an easy task,
man. Three of the last 4 Eastern Conference Finals, never with a team that was, you looked at on paper and said, oh, yeah, that's the best team. But he has a chance to win the finals this year. There's Greg Popovich and Phil Jackson and Red Auerbach and who am I missing? And Pat Riley, of course. Right, he's right there. Pat Riley. And then the 5th spot, you could argue Steve Kerr or Red Holtzman or a bunch of people. But Spoelstra's going to be right there. And if this continues, who knows? Maybe he will go down as a top 5 coach who ever lived. That'd be something.
Max, I laugh at people when people say out loud, especially on Give me those 2 players, and I'll figure it out. Yeah, right.
Yeah, but in the Spoelstra's case, you gave him the 2 players, 3 players. He figured it out. And then you took everything away and gave him 1 player, and he's figuring
still figuring it out.
888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. All right, now you get to weigh in. KJM.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number 1 selling e-bike in America. 2 things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number 1, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number 2, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range, or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Phil Jackson, Pat Riley, Greg Popovich, Red Auerbach. That's the Mount Rushmore of NBA coaches, right? And it doesn't matter the order exactly. I'm just saying those are the 4. So that 5th slot is open if you're talking top 5. Who is it? Is it Steve Kerr for the job he's done in this Warriors dynasty? Red Holtzman? The Knicks in the late 60s, early 70s? Who is it? You got a bunch of other options. Jay mentioned Larry Brown earlier. Casey Jones deserves some credit for that.
Casey Jones in there too, yep.
For that Celtics run, right?
Yeah.
Just look at teams that have won multiple championships and you start asking about that coach. But Eric Spoelstra, he already has the resume. Look what he's doing now with this cast of undrafted players plus Jimmy Butler, who's at the end of the first round, 30th, last pick in the first round. Greg in Jersey City, you're on KJM, ESPN Radio.
Jersey City, stand up, baby.
Yo, Max, what's going on? How was the cookout yesterday?
It wasn't a cookout.
Was it a barbecue?
It wasn't a barbecue.
What?
Which one was it?
I just grilled a few things. Just me and my daughter.
What's good, Doc?
I'm chilling.
All right, Greg, what you got?
What's up, G?
Hey, I went to a cookout yesterday. Had ribs, hot dogs, hamburgers, macaroni salad, macaroni and cheese. Jay, what's a cookout and what's a barbecue? You wasn't here Friday.
Well, I only go to cookouts, man.
Well,
I don't even know what a barbecue. What am I barbecuing my ribs? I only go to a cookout.
Say it slowly for the folks in the
back. Thank you, Jay. Yeah, man. My man, Jersey, stand up.
What was determined, Jay? The consensus that formed over time is that a barbecue implies a greater degree of preparation.
I can take this down a deep, dark road.
Including the form of preparation, you'll use charcoal. It'll take a while to prepare, et cetera. Whereas a cookout is less effort in terms of the preparation of the food and is, In other words, a barbecue can be a cookout. But if someone says, hey, come to the cookout, and it's a barbecue, it's a little extra. This is like Chris Canty said. But if someone said, come to the barbecue and it's a cookout, you're like, wait a minute, you didn't really tell me the truth.
I've never all the cookouts I've been to, the food has been very much prepared. I don't understand. It's a cookout.
Mm-hmm. Well, you missed a lot last week, Jay.
Yeah, apparently so.
Brian in Chicago, you're on KJM, ESPN Radio.
I just want to tune in a little bit. I want to tune in a little bit about this Pippen stuff. Let's remember Jordan did win a college national championship as well as an Olympic gold medal with amateurs before he got to the Bulls. Let's remember Pippen walked off he didn't get the ball with Kukoc, the headache game, waiting to get the surgery. But I think the underlying factor in this, a lot of stuff's perception is Michael's son is dating Pippen's ex-wife.
Look, Brian is in Chicago, obviously going to worship Jordan. And obviously there could be some personal stuff going on because Pippen is talking about some crazy stuff like Jordan wasn't good before he got there.
Pip's family's name
out of
my
mouth. But Brian brings up a good point. Bobby Knight, before Jordan ever turned pro, said Jordan's the best basketball player he's ever seen. Bobby Knight said that before he turned pro. And by his second season in the playoffs, Larry Bird, in the middle of a three-peat of MVPs, where people are starting to say, is he the best player ever? Like, people are starting to wonder that Bird was so good. Like, the Magic being as good as Bird thing came a little later. Magic kept getting better, and then Bird had the back. But at that point, once Kareem and Moses started to fade, the big started to fade, Bird was the unquestioned king of the NBA. And he saw Jordan drop 63 and said, that's the best basketball player I've ever seen.
Yes.
So Jordan was making guys like Bobby Knight and Larry Bird think that. By his second pro season, so when Scottie Pippen comes out and says he wasn't any good, come on, Scottie.
Well, I think that's pretty obvious, don't you?
Yes. So Brian that's brings obvious. Up maybe personal things that could be going on. It's possible.
But I will say this to people, and I'm not disagreeing with that. But the way you go about doing things can rub people the wrong way.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Right? And there's a history of that with MJ because you get the sense, Max, that MJ still to this day he's a lone wolf, man.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So when you're so maniacal that way and you push people constantly, it gives a different feel than the way LeBron has gone about it. Now, you might deem one to be better than the other.
Jordan's better. But go ahead. Yes.
But we got it. You make that point every day. Jordan's the GOAT. We understand. Nobody's even arguing against you here in this one.
He's the best. Yeah, go ahead.
Nobody's arguing against
you. That's what makes it funny, Jay. Go ahead.
Well, Scotty is.
Yes, Scotty's arguing.
Scotty's arguing against.
But no, you brought this up earlier. You're right. You get the Magic Johnson, and this takes a special kind of personality. Like Bird seemed like a miserable guy to me. He just did, right? Magic seemed like a happy guy, and he seemed like he's bringing everyone along with him, right? And Bird was more of a scorer than Magic. Maybe something about that scorer's mentality. Although Bird was also a fantastic passer, but Jordan was very much the scorer. Kobe was the scorer. Jordan, in particular. Seems like he, as he gets older, he's increasingly isolated. He's alone. Even at his Hall of Fame speech, right? Everyone's there to support him. He takes that opportunity to pick off everyone in the room who's there for him at his Hall of Fame speech, induction, to criticize, basically go after them.
It's like, dude, it's not a competition anymore. But for him, it always is. Whereas LeBron, you get the feeling as he gets older, won't feel alone. It'll feel like he's surrounded by people. Mm. You're right. It's a different kind of way of doing things. They're different people.
Collateral damage, man.
Yes. And not that LeBron won't make enemies along the way. Everyone does who is powerful,
it's
especially.
It's very different.
It feels different, for sure.
We got Greg in Maryland. Greg, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. As far as, like, coaches all time, I'm going with Chuck Daly.
Oh, good
If you
one.
Think about it, he beat Riley. He beat Jackson. He beat the Celtics. So, and he coached the Dream Team.
He did.
Everybody said, you know, all these personalities.
Talk about pelts on the wall.
Yeah.
Talk about pelts on the wall. You're right.
So where do you have him ranked?
Me personally, I always put him up there in the top four, actually. You know, I'm like, because if you look at the talent on those Pistons teams, they weren't loaded.
Yeah, they were. No. Time out. They were loaded. Top to bottom, they were loaded. Yeah, the Piston teams were loaded. But it was loaded with defense, right? But that counts.
Defense, right.
But that's still loaded just because it's defense. And by the way, they got guys who could score, too. They had guys who could score, too, on that team. They had some guys who could score the ball. No, they were really – the Pistons were really, really good.
On the top. I mean, Joe
– Were they Miami Heat loaded when Spoelstra run his?
No.
No.
Okay.
We're close.
No, the second best player on the Heat would be better than the best player on those Pistons. Yeah.
Isaiah?
Yeah, Dwayne Wade in the finals. Look, Isaiah is one of the all-time great clutch players.
I'm going to take Zeke.
Dwayne Wade against Dallas.
I'll take
with
Zeke.
With Shaq. That Dwayne Wade had the best finals between Jordan's finals and LeBron's finals. The best finals anyone had was Dwayne Wade against the Mavericks. But all right, you could take Zeke if you want. Dwayne Wade's probably third best two guard of all time.
Okay. Where's Isaiah?
Third or fourth.
Point guard.
That's a good point. Okay. About the same, about third or fourth, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Lamont and St. Louis, you're on KJM ESPN, right? It's a good point. It's a good matchup, actually.
It's a great matchup.
For their positions, yeah.
Hey, what's up with y'all?
What's popping, man?
Oh, man, I'm chilling, man. I just wanted to get with that coaching ordeal. I'm going with LB, pound for pound. You heard what she said.
I mean, look, man, I've been saying that for a while. The game of basketball has never seen a player like that. You can tell me that Jordan is the greatest winner of all time, which I understand.
He's saying Larry Brown.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
he said LB instead of LBJ.
LB. Ah. I turned it into something I wanted it to be.
You know, look, if LeBron James gets to be LBJ, why can't Odell be ODB?
He should be ODB.
He should be ODB. LBJ, because what they're playing on is LBJ. There's Lyndon Johnson, right? Like, that's the whole thing. So there was Old Dirty, and why can't Odell Beckham Jr. be ODB? Why did it turn into OBJ? I don't like it.
What'd you say, Yates?
Well, Bron got a prefix in his name, like the Le.
The Le.
You know, the Le is different than the Bron.
Le JM.
It's a big L, little E, big B. So
oh, always... shut up, Yates. For now, look at me. If you follow the logic, I just wanted to call Odell ODB. I got to call someone ODB. He passed before his time, damn it.
Oh, my goodness.
Listen, how surprised should we be about the Celtics' performance in Game 7? 888-SAY-ESPN.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. People have been waiting to talk all show, Jay. Should we take a few of them?
Thinking maybe about the Miami Heat? Any about the Denver Nuggets? No?
No, no, everything's Heat-Celtics today.
Heat-Celtics.
Yeah, everyone wants to talk Heat-Celtics.
All right.
Eric in D.C., you're on KJM, ESPN Radio.
Yes, good morning, guys. Good morning, guys. Good hearing from y'all, man. Wow. Two quick points. The first one is, Max, stop it.
What?
Stop it, Max, really. I mean, come on, man. If LeBron James, in his earlier years, had a Phil Jackson-caliber coach who also had Red Holtzman, Tex Winner, with the triangle offense, along the, I had Dean Smith in that, with a Scottie Pippen, he would have won six.
If a woulda, coulda. Yeah, right. But that's not what happened.
Right.
Don't come on the show preaching too much, Eric. Don't do that.
No, that's not what I'm saying is under, if other circumstances would have been prevalent.
To compare the two is, you can't compare the two. You're taking that raw talent out of the inner city, right? Now he done broke Kareem's scoring record.
Yes, he's a greater compiler than Jordan.
I mean,
and even with all the he's been in the league for 20 years. He's made his own super teams for 15 of them.
Matt,
he's on four. Jordan is on six. Never went to a game seven
Matt,
in the finals.
Matt, if you take Pittman off that team, he don't win nothing.
Oh, he doesn't
Chicago.
Get to have any All-Stars with him. He has to do it all by himself. How many times has LeBron James won a finals without an All-Star? He gets eliminated when he doesn't have All-Stars. I give LeBron credit for playing in finals with no All-Stars, but he doesn't win them. Of course you need an All-Star.
My thing, you cannot compare the two. Anybody with an eye for basketball can see that.
Right, Jordan's better.
The other thing is, Brown made a comment after Game 6 with the tip-in win, sitting at the table with Shaq and them. He said they got nervous. Ernie asked him, why did they slack up on him? He said, because nobody wanted to be responsible for taking the shot if we were loose. That's their problem.
Okay,
need a coach, and they need a Kevin Durant, somebody like Kobe, who ain't afraid to take over the game.
So he
you know, that's simple as that.
I mean, well, they were looking at Kevin Durant last year.
Yeah, who wouldn't want to look at Kevin Durant?
That was a real
thing.
That was a real thing. I just think they need somebody that can orchestrate for them. I think they have enough players between Tatum and Brown that can take those shots. But where they take those shots and where that offense is orchestrated is the missing ingredient for
them.
Also,
like, if you're patient here, you can get KD, let's say, and you had to trade Jaylen Brown and some stuff for him. And now you have a couple years of high upside. Although KD needs to be available. He's been hurt a lot since the Achilles. Or you can keep these two young guys together.
So do you give them both the max, super max? Because now you're talking about six. So that's what it comes down to.
That's
if you're
really
the Celtics,
what it
right?
comes down
they
to.
They should do it, but can they get Jaylen Brown for less than the $295? Because if they can't, then that's going to strap you in other areas of, you know, like just your balance, your
they
depth.
They need to find a Gabe Vincent, right? They need to find the guy that you're describing, Jay. And they need to find him on the cheap, and they got to figure that out. Because, as I said, you can have a long run. If you keep these two guys together and they stay healthy for 8-10 years, at the end of the 10 years, they'd be 35 and 34. They'd be KD's age.
I mean, look, the Celtics should try to keep him. Now, should they overextend themselves? I'm not sure they want to
do
that.
Who's more worth the full super-duper max?
Well, it's not about who's more worth, right? Like, I think people will try to pit these two together. You can have them both. The problem is if you have them both, then you're strapped at other aspects of your team and developing the team because now you're asking your player development, your scouts, to find pieces like Gabe Vincent, and that's what Miami does. But Miami doesn't have two – they don't have between Bam – there's still room there.
What if I went to you as the GM of the Celtics and you were either Brown or Tatum or both, and I say, guys – I'll give you outs in the contract after this year and this year and this year. But we'd like you to take a haircut like they did in Miami.
You're asking us both to do so?
Yep. Because if you both take a little haircut here, we think we can put the right pieces around you, keep this thing together for a long time, and win multiple championships. You know, you guys are still super young. We'll give you outs in the deal if you don't think we're doing the right things. But what about that in exchange for a haircut? Would you do that if you were them?
If I were Jason Tatum, yes. Because I know I'm going to be here for my career. It feels that way. If I'm Jaylen Brown, I'm not so sure about taking a haircut. because there's already been questions around who's the guy. I've already heard my name leaked in trade rumors multiple times. And by the way, I'm not sure if I really rock with Boston like that. So there, and I'm looking at situations like Atlanta, where I'm from Marietta, Georgia. I could be the guy there. I could be the guy at other places, maybe a Memphis with a Ja Morant. There are other places now. Maybe I can be with Dame where I can get that type of money.
If you don't like it in Boston, you don't like it in Boston. Okay, I get that. Not every town is for every player. I really think, given the age of these two guys, I don't think they make each other better. I don't think they make each other worse. I think they are the sum of their parts, which is good because the sum of their parts is a lot. And they're so young that, as I said, they can spend 3 or 4 years just making conference finals or just winning a playoff series, getting bounced, maybe making a finals, losing. 3 or 4 years of that, and they could still have 4, 5, 6 years of championship play ahead of them. They could win multiple championships. They're so young and so good already. But I agree with you. Neither one's a real point forward by nature. You need a point guard who can be dynamic enough to run the team.
But people also,
and that's going to cost you something.
People also want you to always do what's best for the team. And right now, like at certain stages of people's career, it's okay for Jaylen Brown to want to be selfish too. Like, it's okay. It's going to rub certain people the wrong way. But at the end of the day, who cares what some Boston Celtics fans think about Jaylen Brown? Jaylen Brown's happiness, Max, we talked about this in people's lives. If you can go make the same amount, or even if you took less money, because you can't make the same amount, because obviously you're super max. But you're taking, I'm willing to take less money to be in a better situation for me and Davante Adams. I mean, now it's turned out differently, right? But he wanted to be in Oakland for similar money, right? Because he wants to do it his way. That's his prerogative.
I'm the first one to say they're already on an extremely successful TV show. And when you say, hey, take less money to win a championship, what you're really saying is give back some money to be on an even more popular TV show. But you're not going to get paid for it. In fact, you have to pay for it. Why? I get that. So we've gassed up these athletes and the fans into thinking championships are everything. And this is a business. It's a profession. But I do think if you are generationally wealthy and it's a few extra million, I'm not sneezing at what that is. You have people in your family you could use
like
college education
instead
to get
of 296.
Yeah, like, or even if it's not that, if it's something. And if it's really important to you, and it might be, your legacy, what you leave behind in terms of what you accomplished in your profession, and you have a chance to win multiple championships,
let me ask
what's
you a question.
That worth to you?
So, but if my contract is up first, is he going to do it?
That's why I'm saying I'm calling both of you.
But like it's staggered times though, right? So it's like somebody has to make that commitment first. Doesn't necessarily mean that the second person is going to lean into that. Things can change, man. So like, that's what I'm saying. Like if your contract is a little bit later than mine, I'm like, I'll take a little pay cut. So the team went, you're like, I'm not doing that. I'm going to be sitting there saying, well, hold on a second. So it's all those things that go into that.
Jay.
Yes.
So you're looking out for Jaylen Brown's happiness, right? So what you're saying is that Joe Mazzulla was right the whole time in his pregame speech.
You're never fully dressed without a smile. Just got to be happy.
Got to blink and smile and be happy.
All right, coming up.
Love.
What's next
love.
For the Celtics? People want to weigh in. We've been averaging about one call a segment. We'll see if we can't do better than that.
Rest
KJM.
In peace, man.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
J.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio. What is next for the Boston Celtics? Brian in Michigan, you're on KJM, ESPN Radio.
Good morning, guys. I actually have a point for Jay regarding his daughter and her counting skills.
Are you talking on a speakerphone right now?
Yeah.
Are you on a speakerphone?
Are you calling from the past?
Yeah.
Hang on, because
I can't hear. This is too much of it. Are you in the bathroom? Is there
all
an
right,
echo?
That's better.
Were you in
Sorry
the bathroom? Were you in the bathroom?
No. I work in what's considered to be maybe a closet.
I love it.
Yeah, I'm coming out.
Took the call
I'm coming
from
out of the room
closet.
Now.
I love it.
All right. Well,
I'm coming out of the room now.
Thanks for coming out on our show.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for coming out of the closet on our show. Thank you. Go ahead.
So, about your daughter and her counting, I feel for you because when my niece was about your daughter's age, my father, her grandfather, asked her what 1 + 1 was, and her answer was 11. And my dad thought that was the funniest thing on the planet. And I said, Dad, don't encourage her with that. That's not right. And it reminded me of an old Steve Martin gag from way back in his first album, back in the 80s, where he says, if you really want to get your kids, get them early, teach them to talk wrong. Hey, Junior, may I move dog face to the banana patch? And that's how he got his kids going with learning in school so that they would permanently be messed up and they would never be as smart as him.
I love it.
But I feel for you because I feel for you because 1 + 1 does not equal 11, and we finally got her on the right track.
Okay, so I have it here on my phone, Max. Listen to this, okay? Listen.
I see a square. That means you're recording. I need a countdown.
That's my wife. Here we go.
10, 8, 6, 7, 9. That
was the countdown.
Now, it's interesting.
That was the countdown.
Hey, Jay, that was super interesting the way her brain, because it went, she counted down by two, and I thought she's good. She's descending. And then she went back up and filled in the one she missed.
Filled in the one she missed.
There's
and
a logic
she was like,
to it.
One, go!
10, 8, 6. Oh, wait a minute. I skipped 7, 9. To hell with this. 1, go.
I mean, I might have played a number today in the lottery.
Hey, Jay, write them numbers down. I got box straight 50-50
on
that.
You
know, I got to see what's going on. Big 4, big 3, something like that.
It was great. Multitasking, holding the camera, not knowing how to press the button while counting down at the same time.
You ever notice, I don't know if your kids are old enough to this, but like if you sit down and teach your kids something, suddenly they have no backbone anymore, and by that I mean like they're slouching, they're looking this way,
Number 10.
They're playing with their hair. They don't want to, you know what I mean?
Number 8.
It's hard to get them to like sit down and be disciplined, even in their posture when they're learning stuff like
that.
My
daughter's 4, so she's like she's filming it, and then she's like butterfly.
Number 4.
Does that happen, or does she pay attention?
No, my oldest Amelia locks in, like she gets fixated, like myopic. She does not see anything else other than what her task is. It's truly crazy.
That's good because I find with my daughters, I've had to.
Oh, they're like
correct.
You. They're like you. That's you.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I've had to correct first discipline just in terms of their posture and their attentiveness, and then everything follows from that. Then they're fine.
Huh, you say posture, so I had to.
Yeah.
I was slouching over. Tighten the core.
Behavioral modification. Yeah.
Oh,
right, yeah. Work from the outside in sometimes.
Number 10.
Big Trey in Alabama has something to tell us.
Big Trey. Yay.
Yes, sir, fellas. I really appreciate you taking my call. I've been waiting to talk about this for a minute because I follow Max forever. Mm. And for years he was saying that, the two-way wing is the best duo. Mm-hmm. When in reality, it's always been a guard and a big. And the times that it was the best duo, it was Jordan and Pippen, LeBron and Wade, and they both had point forwards in the duo.
The point forward is a great point. We were talking about it earlier. Absolutely. Matter of fact, during the commercial break, Jay and I were saying what Jordan and Pippen was more like having LeBron and Kawhi together. A toned-down LeBron would be Pippen, and a toned-up Kawhi would be Jordan. But you're absolutely right. It's not just two-way wings. There's a point wing in there, whether that's the guard or the forward.
I don't think he's throwing my name in there. That's what you said.
I didn't say that. No, I said that to you.
I don't know if I see Scotty as a toned-down LeBron James.
Basically same game.
No, they're not.
Defend multiple positions, could handle the ball, get you into your offense, excellent passer, could rebound the ball, not a great shooter.
Scotty was not the type of passer LeBron James is.
No, as I said, toned down. But the
generationally,
skill, the skill set. Well, Scottie Pippen was a fantastic player. LeBron is so great. He's like a pumped up Pippen in every way.
I feel like LeBron
can
more
finish
of a,
well, but he's not. He's a good, but not great. He's a good
he's
enough,
a
but not
of a
great
scorer,
shooter.
Scoring magic than he is a pumped up Pippen.
But Pippen was a
Pippen's bit. Great defensively. I mean, LeBron's been good defensively.
No, LeBron got to be great defensively.
Not like Pip.
Yo, LeBron, one thing it's funny because sometimes I'll look on Twitter to be like, oh, you're such a LeBron stan to me. Mm-hmm. You think LeBron, and I'm like, no, actually, I would argue Jordan. But sometimes people force me to defend LeBron. LeBron was one of the greatest defensive players ever at his best.
I agree with you.
Ever
I,
at
I
his
think,
best.
I think
you can defend five positions.
I think Pippen was a better defender.
He was a.
I think Pippen was way more active with his hands. I think Pip, because
he was a more noted defender. Like he was known for it for sure.
But see, I can see like Pip would like guard guards, like PGs.
Yeah, Pippen
like,
was score, a lot.
I think that's I always see LeBron kind of struggle with that with the quick lateral. Pip was so long on the perimeter, man. I think I don't know.
But if you look,
I don't
at
have
their
the
game,
numbers in front of me. I wonder how many more defensive like player of the years or first team All NBA. Like,
Pip and LeBron,
player.
They could both play above the rim, correct?
Yes.
Right. Okay.
But they LeBron could both, is different above the rim.
Of course. I'm saying LeBron's better in every way, but in that and on offense, but they could both play above the rim. They're both point forwards, right? 6'7" and better. They could both finish, obviously. They could both set up your offense. They're both good passers. They could both rebound the ball. And both of them were adequate but not great shooters. Like so who's more like LeBron than that, would you say? Whose game reminds you more of LeBron's than
that's why I said Magic.
Magic was a point guard.
Dude, Bron is a point guard, man.
Yeah, I've actually argued that myself.
Bron is a point guard.
But Magic was not above the rim the same way.
Yeah,
was,
different.
Yeah.
But similar.
Pippen was. Pippen like checks all those boxes is what I'm saying.
I'm trying to find out how
I think
times.
That's one of the reasons, not just he's the acrimonious
so
relationship
Pippen
with
was,
Jordan.
Pippen made all defensive first team eight consecutive
yeah,
times.
Yeah, come on, man. Was, the crazy thing about those Bulls teams is
eight consecutive times.
Jay, the crazy thing about team. Those Bulls teams is Pippen's probably the greatest defensive small forward ever, and Jordan's probably the greatest defensive two guard ever. And neither one of them were the best defensive players on the team during the second three-peat because they had Rodman.
And then Pat
probably said, the greatest defender ever.
And then Pat said Pippen was one of the greatest defenders of all time that never defends MJ anymore. That's cold.
Yeah, right. Yeah. No.
Yeah. That's where they are.
Derek and Philly have something to say about cookout versus barbecue.
Philly.
What's up?
What's popping?
That's it.
Are you
what's
there?
Up? That's it. No, that's all he had to say is what's up.
That's all? That's it? I thought he was going to
defend. Oh, no. How you doing, Max?
I'm doing well, Derek.
Is Max the only one here?
I'm good. I just wanted to let you know, man, barbecues, I'm from Norfolk. We only had cookout with charcoal.
See?
That's the best cookout you can only have, man. Will never be no different. And two, LeBron is a better point guard.
By the way, LeBron would be my starting. I'm not arguing Pippen's as good as LeBron. I'm arguing LeBron is a pumped-up Pippen. Take Pippen's basic thing and make it better in every respect on offense, you wind up with LeBron.
Alan Gates, guess what Molly just said to me?
What she said?
Molly's just walking in, getting ready for First Take, and she says out loud, oh, Jay's showing a lot of ankle today.
See? She know, it's and I guarantee she got
no,
a
she
great.
Put up to that. Were you Molly? Did they put
she
you
heard
up to
that
it?
On the way in. No, she heard that on the way in.
All right, Molly's weighed in. It's too much ankle, Jay. Sorry. Molly's weighed in now. It's too much ankle.
What's my ankle to heel ratio, Molly? That's what I need to know. Is it? It feels right.
Do I have the right amount of ankle, Molly? Right amount of ankle?
He's still doing the capris.
Yeah, low. Yeah, the no show.
I have no socks. Straight European. No, I have baby powder. They got baby powder in the shoes.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Greeny coming up. See you tomorrow. Exam
perf. Rude. Oh my.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.